It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, February 25th. I'm Patricia Naft. The governor's oil and gas task force held its final scheduled meeting yesterday. The top Democrat in the House says she's hoping for substantial recommendations. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Speaker of the House Dickie Lee Hollinghorst of Boulder says she'll be satisfied if the committee recommends more local control for cities and towns over oil and gas drilling.
Local government could adopt regulations that were more stringent than the state if it didn't interfere with operational issues.
She also wants to see the industry regulated differently.
Define the charge of the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission as regulating rather than fostering development of oil and gas.
Hollinghorst says if the committee doesn't make those recommendations, she'll have to decide if there will be a bill later this session to address those issues. Republicans largely oppose changes to the current energy laws. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Two skiers died Monday, one in Aspen, the other in Breckenridge. In Aspen, an avalanche caught two skiers outside the skiable boundary in Castle Creek Valley. One was uninjured. The other was longtime Aspen resident John Martin Marty Genksos, has been identified as the skier killed during an out-of-bounds avalanche on the west side of Aspen Mountain, family and friends confirmed Tuesday. Genksos, 64, was skiing out of bounds with another person Monday just below the upper terminal of Ruthie's Lift on Aspen Mountain. The Colorado Avalanche Information Center has labeled all the areas in Colorado as having considerable avalanche danger. In Breckenridge, the Denver Post reports that Jacob Coltoon, age 22, died while skiing Peak 7 expert terrain without a helmet. Originally from California, he was a student at the University of Colorado Boulder. There's a big plan that could have two local counties sharing resources and splitting costs. Unfortunately, a state law is preventing them from moving forward. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Hinsdale County and Mineral County are pretty similar. They're right next to each other, about the same size, have comparable populations, and if their county commissioners work things out, might have the same public health district. Susan Thompson is the chair of the Hinsdale Board of County Commissioners.
Well, we were approached by Mineral County, and between the two counties, we thought it would be a good way for us to have an economy of service, to, you know, work on grants together. Our counties are very similar. We would do other things as a combined effort. So we just thought it would be a good way for both of our communities to get all the services we need for public health and do it through an economy of scale.
The two boards had discussed the merger since last summer. Recently, though, they hit a roadblock.
As counties, we were completely in agreement on how we wanted to do it. Unfortunately, the statute did not allow us to do it the way that we wanted to, and we both felt was fair.
The issue is a state statute that says if Hinsdale and Mineral County districts do this merger, they'll have to split costs proportionally based on their population. That would leave Hinsdale on the hook for a little bit more money than they're prepared for, more than the two counties agreed on previously. So as long as that statute remains, this merger, which could be a huge cost-saving move, is on hold. Tara Hardy is the current public health director for Mineral and Hinsdale County. Mineral lost their director, so Hardy has taken over both districts.
I think one of the key things to this and why I'm not discouraged is because even though we're not technically a district right now, the commissioners value this combined approach, and so we're going to continue operating with me as a single director over two county agencies through contractual agreements.
Hardy and Thompson are both optimistic about the future of this merger. The hope now is that the county commissioners will be able to tweak the state statute, allowing them to work on their own terms. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
And finally, throughout history, the eagle has symbolized strength and courage. It's been called the king of the skies, and in mythology, it was often a messenger for the gods. And now the eagle is becoming another symbol of gratitude. Military veterans on the western slope are hand-making canes decorated with the head of an eagle for fellow veterans. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Gary Grattan leans over a lathe. He's sanding a piece of basswood shaped like an eagle's head.
Okay, that's good enough for now, and I'll take the knife to it.
Grattan retired from the Marines as an officer. He spent some of his career fighting in Vietnam.
I've spent 27 years serving my country, and now I want to serve my community.
Grattan volunteers at the Warrior Resource Center in Montrose. There, he helps coordinate the Eagle Head Cane Program. It started 3 years ago. A woodworking group from Grand Junction asked Grattan and other Montrose woodworkers to help make canes for veterans in the area.
We learned about the program and thought it was just super.
Now Montrose has its own program. Grattan says the idea of making these eaglehead canes came from woodworkers in Oklahoma over a decade ago.
And as people learn what's going on, it's being spread all over the country now. I was down in Arizona and was carving with a guy from Pennsylvania and one from Texas, and they started the cane program in their neighborhoods.
It can take Grattan up to 8 hours to craft an eagle head. It all starts with a square block of wood.
From that block, you take everything away that don't look like an eagle. I'm just teasing you.
Grattan sands, carves, and sometimes paints the heads. He works closely with his friend Bob Hampton to complete a cane.
This is my little trademark on every cane. It's a little trapezoid about 7 inches from the bottom.
Hampton, an Army veteran, makes the shaft.
The same cane's not going to work for everybody. So we've come up with a rough figure. We take a person's height, and I take half of the height and add a half inch. And that way, if it's too long, we can cut it down.
Hampton creates the shafts from maple, walnut, or elm. Then he engraves a veteran's rank and name, along with their branch of service, job title, unit number, and where they were stationed. A veteran can apply for a cane, or a family member or friend can also fill out an application for them at the Warrior Resource Center. Once a month, the completed canes are presented to veterans during a ceremony at the center.
Sergeant Paul Piles, Colorado.
The first time I tore my left ankle was in a training incident in Grafenwöhr, Germany. I was running away from the op force, the people who helped train us to go fight in the war. And then the second time I was walking in Iraq and found a weapons cache with my foot.
That's Paul Piles. He's an Army vet who served in Iraq. He received an eaglehead cane made by Grattan and Hampton. Piles plans to use it every day.
And I like walking around and hiking, and I'm always using a trek pole or something to get around. Now I have a personalized cane that's mine. It has a lot of symbolism.
Back in his garage, Grattan is putting the finishing touches on one of his eagle heads.
Well, counting the ones I threw away that I didn't like, I probably carved about 250 of them. So we've given 200 canes out about.
Grattan says each cane is a custom fit and make.
But I really like the results that come, that the people just honor these canes. They hang them over their fireplaces. They put them, you know, in decorative areas. They carry them around all the time. I just enjoy the people that enjoy those canes.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
KVNF DJ Felix Belmont received an eaglehead cane earlier this month. Felix, host of Stop Time, is a World War II Army veteran. He fought in the Pacific Theater. To see some examples of the canes made by Gary Grattan, Bob Hampton, and other Western Slope woodworkers, check out our website at kvnf.org. Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.